Joseph. He and his story is a big part of the book of Genesis. And we are at this point well into sort of the historical foundations of faith. This is not the beginning of Joseph's story, however. It alluded to the fact that he was bought by from some Ishmaelites. Here's what happened. Joseph was one of 11 brothers. And he was clearly his father's favorite son. Clearly. His mother, one of at least two that his father had, was his favorite wife. And Jacob, his father, made a coat for him. Now, they were shepherds, and that meant a lot of work. They had several flocks, and it just created a lot of work. You're out in the field with sheep and sheep droppings. There's the birthing, there's the shearing, and all of this has to get done. And his dad gave Joseph a coat. Not particularly unusual to have a coat, but this one was unusual. Many colored. All right? It costs a little bit more to have color in a coat. It's not just plain, unbleached flax or cotton or whatever would have been used. It had color. It was meant to be around for a while and not just used up. It was also long, we are told, and that doesn't seem to be much of a detail until you realize that shepherds with long coats are going to have their coat dragged through the barn and the mess. And the sleeves were long. And again, birthing sheep and dealing with sheep means that the coat would get extra dirty if it was long. Since it was long, it was clear that his dad was saying, "You're a supervisor of my other sons." And then Joseph had dreams, and he was happy to tell his brothers that his dreams told him that he was going to be a shining star over their stars, more important, more successful than they. He thought he was something. And in many ways, he was. But he thought that too. And his brothers did not like any of this. Did not like being second fiddle. Did not like his arrogance, his lording it over them. And they did what, frankly, brothers can sometimes do. They tried to take him down a notch. They threw him in a pit. They were thinking about just leaving him there to die. One of the brothers says, "You know, we could make some money off of this. Plus, we wouldn't have to actually kill him that way." And so they sold him to some passing Ishmaelites. And Joseph, this golden boy, was now a slave. He had not expected to be a slave. It was trouble unlooked for. And then he gets into Egypt. Now, Egypt was, it was an enemy. It was, for the Hebrews, a land of misdeeds. Foreign. It was. They had strange gods. They were immoral. And now Joseph finds himself there. He gets bought, kind of demeaning to be bought, and he begins to work as a slave. And his work is noticed as being really good. So he rises in the ranks of the slaves. And in fact, he rises so high in the ranks that he actually moves into the main house and figures that his master, his owner, doesn't really consider him any less than he is. That's pretty good. Joseph is back to being a golden boy. And in the midst of this idyllic life, this golden boy all of a sudden is confronted by his wife, who wants sex. He says no. No, however, is not something a slave gets to say. And Potiphar's wife creates a story. Not just a story that he tried to have sex, but that her husband brought this Hebrew into the household. This Hebrew slave, not just a slave, but a Hebrew slave, to insult us. No process, no chance to respond. Potiphar, as the judge and the jury, gets to decide whatever he wants and throws his slave into jail. So the golden boy, golden slave, is now a jailbird, a felon. Now, all the way through this story, we are told that God is with him, and that is why things go well, that things prosper that he's in charge of. And again, there is a different sort of system for jails, and the chief jailer is required to make sure that everybody stays there, is fed, and doesn't die needlessly. And Joseph is doing all of that work, and again, he does it so well that the jailer is pretty much like, cool, I'll just sit here in my chair, watch it all happen. Joseph is continually surprised by this trouble. It comes out of nowhere for him because he thinks of himself as a golden boy. And it's easy to do when you feel like God is with you. But notice, even though God is with him, trouble still happens. Trouble still comes. And God's presence, God's blessing, does not change any of that. He still gets thrown into a pit, declared dead, becomes a slave, gets thrown into jail. Being blessed or having God's presence does not eliminate the possibility of such trouble. And he would have known that if he had grown up or been different. He would have known that in his own family if he had not been born beautiful, good to look at, born of the favorite wife, if he had been born of the maid, if he had been born disfigured, blind, maybe deformed in some physical way, he would not have felt like he was a golden boy. And he would understand from the sneers and the snide comments of family and brothers and even servants, the sidelong glances, that he was not a golden boy and he should expect trouble. If, as a slave, he had always been a slave, he would have known that he doesn't get to say no. He would have understood that whatever happens to him is going to happen to him. If he had been born black or gay, if he had been born in such a way that he stood out, he would have expected to have no process when he's accused, no fairness. He would have expected inequality. If when he was thrown in jail, if he had always been an outsider, he would not have been surprised that Potiphar's wife not only accused him of doing something, but referred to him as a Hebrew whose mere presence was an insult. If he had been a foreigner always, that sort of racism would not have surprised him. That's the surprise of trouble. That's what we call privilege now. And we get our privilege either from our skin color, from our national origin, from our financial situation, from our skills. But we too can be surprised by trouble if we think we're above it. But a lot of folks in our country and in the world are not surprised by inequality, by injustice, by slights, by not being allowed to say no. And we need to hold on to that constant refrain in this story that God was with Joseph. But that did not eliminate the surprise, did not eliminate the trouble. It's because when you think that you are a golden boy, or you think someone else is a golden, charmed boy, all of a sudden you have created a gradation, a value system. You've got your golden boy here, and then maybe silver. We got some bronze, we got tin and lead, and maybe wax, clay, straw. You can do whatever you want to straw. And all of this name-calling, Hebrew, all of this delineation of types of people allows others who feel golden, or maybe silver, allows them to do whatever they want. Allows the inequality, allows the injustice, allows the name-calling, allows the mistreatment, the lack of process, the slavery. It allows it. But that's not our faith at all. Our faith says that if you are chosen by God, and that was last week's scripture and sermon. If you are chosen by God, you are chosen for service, not for privilege, not for special favor. You are chosen as God chose Israel, not to have goodness, but to be good, to be a blessing to other nations. And frankly, it has to be said that I think the jury is still out as to whether that's happening. Because they too have apparently decided that they are golden and that they can treat others who are not like them without justice, without equality, building a wall around Palestine, eliminating ways for people to earn money and get food. There is no justice here. And there would be no justice either if we too allow ourselves to feel like, as a nation, we are better than other nations and can do what we want to the straw people, the lead people, because we are golden. In our faith, everybody is a child of God. Everybody has the image of God within them. Everybody, maybe even especially the least, the lost, the lowly. We're told even there we should see Jesus when we look at them. So I encourage you to do exactly that. When you think that perhaps someone is not worthy, not valuable enough, remember, they're still God's child. And when you see someone being called names, remember that Jesus is in those eyes as well. This is our faith. Amen.